Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week in this second Monday of 2026. It's weird saying 2026.
It is kind of weird right now, but it's new. It's fresh.
So are we. got a UFO account I'm bringing in. It's very well documented. We haven't talked about yet. So stick around for that. If you're new here, me and Kyle got some housekeeping we do. Talk a little bit during the first end of the show. So if you're not into that, you're going to want to fast forward a little bit. Probably around the 5-6 minute mark. If you are into that, listening to us chit chat, hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Glad you have decided to start another year off with your best friends, the Bastard Sons of the Paranormal.
BFF.
Yes.
It's RHD, baby. RHD.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
But getting through the business, check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Discord, Reddit. That went out of order that I normally do, but it's fine. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come and join the cult. Be part of the community. It's a good time. All the cool kids are doing it. It's super fun. If you have a paranormal experience that you would like for us to feature on a future episode of either the regular show or the listener experience show, Kyle's got some deets
you're going to want. I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. That is the number one for sure way we will see any communications that you have. It's the best place to send your stories over to. That way Steve can put it in the catacombs that can be drug out later, turned into its own masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a good thing for you and us. Don't drop the ball on this.
It's a win for all parties involved. It truly is.
It really is.
And you can do that by hyping it out, or you can leave a voice note if you want people That's to true. Hear it in your own, from your own vocal box, not mine. You can leave it via voice note.
Yeah.
Get all the intricacies of how you're feeling at the time of the when you saw a Sasquatch, when you were abducted by the men in black.
I hope we get one of those submissions.
When the black-eyed kids broke into your house.
That sucks.
And the Fae fought them off.
Ooh, that's cool.
See?
Yeah.
We need this.
I see. I jumped the gun. I didn't listen. I didn't wait for all the details. I jumped the gun.
It happens.
It does happen.
It happens to the best of us.
It's true. Which is Steve and Kyle. So.
Which is us. We're fully shooting for Hollow Sky to be a number one Kings of New York.
Why New York?
Why not?
That's good. I'll give you that.
If you'd like to support this little endeavor, plenty of ways you can do it. We got the Patreon, which we are revamping. By the time this drops, there are going to be new tiers over there. We tried the one static tier. Meh. We're going to start throwing in some new tiers. We've got a bunch of ideas we're going to try to put together and get put out over there. Things are in the making. I know we always talk shit. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But
yeah.
Things truly are in the making.
Yeah, they sound pretty promising. The weight load, I think, will be distributed well enough that we can pull this off. I mean, realistically, you guys are looking at probably 4 shows from us.
The coolest guys ever. Just what it is.
Yeah, we are definitely the coolest guys ever, but you're looking at 4 separate shows that are going to be available on Patreon.
Hopefully.
I think it's doable, but we'll see.
It's going to be a good time. Everybody's going to have fun.
Hashtag famous.
It's going to be different than the regular show. Kind of in the same vein as the regular show. All under the umbrella of Dark Array Media.
Yep.
Which, it's going to be exciting. Be there or be square. Patreon.
And now we've put that out there, so now we're kind of putting our feet over the fire.
Oh, yeah. We're manifesting it now.
Yeah.
So be ready to look out for that in 2026. All our Patreon members, the Patreon sect of the Hollow Cult, that's going to be changing up. So go look over there. Get your eyes on that and see if there's something you like over there. And you know, hit the button. You can also go to the store, hollowskypodcast.com. We got some merch over there. Shirts, hats, probably not hats anymore. We're going to get some new merch going on now that the beginning of the year is here and rolling. Should be getting some new stuff in the store. So keep an eye on that. The best thing you can do, which is free and easy and quick, is help spread the word of the Hollow Cult. On YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, leave comments, just keep the thing rolling. It's free, it's quick, helps us in the algorithms. You know the deal. Just keep putting Hollow Sky out there. Simple, it's easy.
Yeah.
We love you for it, and that's priceless.
It's true. Graphic designers hit us up once in a while. Sometimes I'm really indecisive on settling for graphics. So, well, when I make them. So maybe hit us up. I'm kind of vibing like a varsity style hoodie.
See?
Yeah. I have a really hard time creating it.
Submit yourself in the lore of Hollow Sky. You can also go to wherever you listen to shows and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can even leave it on our social medias, and if I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. Like this week's 5-star rating and review from our friend Clayton, who left us a 100% over at Facebook. Actually, I lied, because Clayton says 1,000%.
Ooh.
The best podcast for all things strange. Every episode is a banger. You can tell they take pride in their research and delivery. Just two everyday dudes that'll keep you entertained. Hell yeah, Clayton.
Couldn't have put it better.
Couldn't have. 1,000%. That's what we're going for this year.
That's right.
2026, 1,000%.
Coming in hot.
We appreciate you, Clayton. Thanks for taking the time to leave us that over at the Facebook. Good old Facebook. Yeah. Hell yeah. Another way you can support the show is supporting our lovely sponsors, which you will hear from right about now. Hey, Hollow Cult. Did you know there's a difference between your chronological age and your biological age? Your chronological age is your birthday, and your biological age is how old your body really is. Biological age is the strongest predictor of disease risk and mortality. True Diagnostic gives you your biological age, health markers, plus a simple personalized 90-day plan after analyzing over 1 million data points. True Diagnostic offers a true age test, which is a test of longevity and aging. It measures biological age versus chronological age and your current pace of aging. Includes symphony age, tracking the health of 11 organ systems, your brain, heart, lungs, immune system, etc. Gives you your top 3 aging actions you can take to slow or reverse aging. 86% of True Age users who follow the plan reduce their biological age. You can order online and the kit ships right to your front door. Quick, simple finger prick at home, and then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the 3 recommendations for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million biomarkers, identifies the 3 most important actions you can take over 90 days to improve your health. Trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, Hollow Sky listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLLOWSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com and use code HOLOSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Hey, Hollow Cult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at mood.com. And just like that, we're back. Welcome back, Hollow Cult. It's 2026. We're into the weird. So I figured I would start this year off with a UFO incident. We technically already started the year off with your incident. Now we're getting in the research side. So we're going to dive right into this.
Well, a UFO incident is not a bad way to start the year.
No. This one's a famous one.
Good.
Too. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you're here to hang out and you're going to get in the know because that's what we do. So today's case is the Cash Landrum UFO incident.
I don't think I've heard about this.
It's one of the more famous and controversial UFO related cases, I think.
Interesting.
I feel pretty comfortable saying that kind of in history.
We like controversy.
Yeah, it's notable not only for the sighting itself, but also for the alleged physical injuries, the medical documentation, and a failed lawsuit against the U.S. government.
Hell yeah.
That followed the encounter. So our case today takes place on December 29th, 1980, around the town of Dayton, Texas. On said evening, two friends, Betty Cash, age 51, and Vicky Landrum, age 57, along with Vicky's grandson, Colby, were on their way home to Dayton, Texas, in Cash's 1980 Oldsmobile Cutlass. They were out that night post-Christmas, supposed to be doing what two gals do, going to play some bingo.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic move there.
But they forgot that most of the bingo halls were closed for the holidays. So they hit a couple up, not thinking that it was just post-Christmas. They were closed, so instead of writing the night off, they decided to go out and get some food. They got dinner at a roadside truck stop diner and took off at about 9 o'clock. This was in the area known as the Piney Woods area, kind of between the towns of New Caney and Huffman. They turned onto an isolated two-lane road surrounded by dense woods when Betty, out of the corner of her eye, noticed a light above some trees in the forest. At first, she thought maybe it was a plane approaching because the Houston International Airport wasn't too far away, about 30, 35 miles. So she was like, oh, probably a plane, you know.
I mean, it does make a lot of sense.
Same thing I would think.
Absolutely.
When I saw a light until I realized it was a UFO. You know what I mean? Yes. So as they're driving down this windy two-lane road, trees on both sides, kind of a lot like the roads around here. That's what I was picturing when I was doing my research. Minutes later on this road, the light returned. But this time it was no longer in the distance. It loomed nearby, and it was infinitely brighter than it was before. As the two women look on, they see the outline of a colossal diamond-shaped object hovering over the treetops, and at the base, flames were spewing out.
Yes.
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 Not if it's an airplane, that airplane's got some issues.
It's got some major problems.
Yes. As she's watching it, it comes off of the trees, and it's in front of the, it's over the road in front of them. Flames just beaten down. And as they pull up, they're feeling the heat from whatever propulsion system this is that's keeping this thing afloat.
It's got to be like the most primitive alien species out there.
That's using fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, it's still alien. It's still fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So Vicky Landrum is getting worried, as anyone should be when encountering a flaming UFO. She tells Betty to stop the car because the heat is getting so intense. They're worried that the car is going to catch fire if they get any closer to it. Vicky is a born again Christian, so she immediately thought, holy crap, this is the second coming of Jesus.
Yes.
Her grandson in the back is starting to lose his mind because there's a flaming UFO in front of him. Vicky's trying to calm him down by saying, that's just Jesus. He will not hurt us.
That's a fucked up way of looking at the situation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To think some giant ass thing in the sky shooting fires, Jesus.
Imagine mistaking aliens for some sort of religious being. I hope that's not happening in today's world. Anyway, Betty said she was, where am I at? Okay, they will not hurt us. They get out of the car at this point. Right? No, wrong. Hold up. So Betty's said she was super anxious and considered turning the car around to drive away from the UFO. But she said that the road was too narrow and she was worried that the car would get stuck on the shoulders. So
she should have just done a burnout.
They were just going to wait it out.
Did a 180 and then got out of there.
Yeah, but it was the old Cutlass.
Or Vin Diesel it and put it in reverse and go ultra fast that way.
Yeah, put it in reverse, Terry. So she's just going to sit and wait it out. But the curiosity got the best of them, which you shouldn't ever do. Cash and Landrum got out of the car to examine the object. When they did, 7-year-old Colby in the back, the one who is obviously the most grounded in what's going on, freaked out and said, Grandma Vicky, get back in the damn car.
He's the only one that's got his wits about him.
Yeah. So she's like, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to get back in the car. And then she got back in the car. Betty, on the other hand, kind of got so mesmerized by what she was seeing that she just sat there and stared at it. In an interview with Jerome Clark, she said, quote, that she was mesmerized by the bizarre light. In Jerome's interview, he went on to say the object, intensely bright, was a dull metallic silver color. It was shaped like a huge upright diamond about the size of the Dayton Water Tower, with its top and bottom cut off so that they were flatter as opposed to pointed. Small blue lights ringed the center, and periodically over the next few minutes, flame shot out the bottom, flaring outward to create the effect of one large cone. Every time the fire dissipated, the UFO floated a few feet down toward the road. But when the flames blasted out again, the object rose back up into the distance, or back up about the same distance.
See, Betty reminds me of the stripper lady from Independence Day that runs up onto the...
With the sign.
Yeah, with the sign. That's who she reminds me of.
Welcome.
And then she goes...
Yes. So I'm going to go into some interview quotes here, which come a little bit later, but it's Betty actually talking about what she was experiencing. So after the encounter, Betty started calling her state representatives. The state represent because
that's an interesting choice.
Never did Betty think that this was a UFO. She was adamant that this was some sort of military technology.
Okay.
So she contacts the state representatives and are like, hey, what did you guys have out here? So the state representative pointed her toward Bergstrom Air Force Base, where she went in Vicky did too, and Colby, and got interviewed by Captain John Camp of the United States Air Force. So some of these quotes come from that specific interview. I'll probably post the transcripts from the interview to the Patreon for anybody that wants to go through them. I'll throw those over there. Betty says in this interview.
Real quick, I love how Betty's just like, I'm getting answers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to the state representatives, and now, fuck it. We're all packing up and going to the military base. They're going to tell me what they had flying out there.
You're going to know why, because she got severe radiation poisoning from this.
Oh, shit, that sucks.
Yeah. So she's like, she ain't blaming on the UFO. She ain't blaming on aliens. She said, I got radiation poisoning, and it's from the U.S. government.
This is your fault.
Yeah. And she says, I'm going to file a $20 million lawsuit.
Good for her. Good for her. Get hers.
So.
Get her. Betty, I retract my previous statements.
Badass Betty.
Badass Betty.
Yeah. So these quotes here come from the transcript of this interview she does with Captain John Camp of the U.S. Air Force. Betty says, I got out of the car. I don't know what my purpose was, unless it was just a normal instinct to think, well, maybe I'd be safer outside than I would be inside. But to tell you the truth, we thought it was the end of the world at that point. I'd never in my life gone through such a situation, but I knew that there was no way we could go under it because the fire was shooting out from the bottom of it. That's why they didn't plow through it, because the fire was so intense.
I mean, it makes sense.
The car on fire.
You still could have James Bonded, badass it, and just slap it in reverse.
Yeah, reverse slam.
And then do the 180 and get out of there.
We call that flipping a bitch.
Yeah, 100% could have done that. But I understand. I understand the predicament.
When asked what she did while she was out of the car, Betty says, I walked toward the front of the car, and the light was so bright, and so the heat was so intense. I didn't know whether to run, to get back in the car, or what. I just stood there for a few minutes. Not too long, because it was so hot and the light was so bright. Then I started to get back in the car. And when I did, I had to use the bottom of my leather jacket. I touched the door handle, and the door handle was so hot I couldn't stand it with my bare hands. So I got the pocket of my leather jacket and used it to open the car door and got back in. And at this time, fire would shoot out of, and then it would let up. And then it would let up and it would shoot out again. I don't know what kind of sound it was making exactly. It was similar to air brakes or a whooshing sound. She said, I had not killed the motor on the car. I put it in park. The radio was playing on low, but then the car completely went dead. I mean, it was like someone had just flipped a switch and it went off. And when the thing began to lift up, we were all horrified. In fact, Vicky's the one, I guess maybe I would have tried to have gone under it. That's how scared I was. But she screamed for me to stop. And right there, when she was screaming, she had put her hands on the dash, and her fingerprints actually melted into the dash of my car. Her fingerprints were embedded. So I finally got the car started, and it was so hot I had to turn the air conditioner on in order for us to get cool. And by that time, we were all burning up. It was just, well, it was something really, you've just got to experience for me to be able to describe it. They said that the heat was so strong to make the car's metal body painful to the touch. Cash said she had to use her coat to protect her hand from the door handle to be able to open it up so she wouldn't get burned to get back in the car. When Vicky touched the dashboard, her hand pressed into the softened vinyl from the heat, leaving an imprint that was evidence weeks later. Investigators cited this as proof and even got video evidence of it in a 1985 HBO documentary called UFOs, What's Going On? So I'm curious as to how hot the inside of the car would have to be to leave actual fingerprints in the vinyl.
It would have to be hot.
Because vinyl gets hot sitting in the sun, but yeah, not to the point to where you're going to melt your fingerprints into
it. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be super hot.
Yeah.
You'd almost think it'd be so hot that they would start getting burns from the heat.
But do they?
Yes, I don't know.
They do.
I don't know the keys.
They said, and investigations put in after they started reporting what happened, that the car was 130 feet away from where the craft was, and the craft was 60 to 80 feet off the ground.
So that's a, did it melt the fucking road?
It did.
I was going to say, it had to, with that, amount of heat coming off of it.
It did.
And there's like, evidence of all this?
Yep.
How the fuck is it controversial at that point? I mean, I do, the only thing that I'm kind of vibing right now, and I don't have all the info, it does slightly feel military-y.
It gets way more military-y.
I kind of, because right now I'm definitely vibing. It could have been a military experiment.
Here's where it gets real military.
All right, let's do this.
They said that the object then ascended over the treetops and rose higher in the sky. At this point, a group of helicopters approached it, surrounding it in tight formation. Cash said that she counted 23 helicopters, and Landrum counted 26. They later identified some of them as tandem rotor Boeing CH-47 Chinooks, used by military forces worldwide. More specifically, Cash claimed that they had United States Air Force markings on the side of the helicopters.
They said that's not surprising, because the Air Force is notoriously involved with UFO situations.
Yes. The thing was, is that this thing, she said that they almost like escorted it off.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to like trying to interact with it, they were escorting it off.
And that feels weird. And I could see that being a military situation, but I could also see them trying to do that with a UFO.
To protect civilian-ish.
Sure.
Yeah, I get that too. And Betty's just like such a grandma. Like, the more I think about it, the more like grandma she is. She even stated in the interview with John Camp that the heat was so intense that she was legitimately concerned with the military pilots of the helicopters. She's like, they're getting so close to it, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
While she's there, blistering alive, she's worried about the helicopter pilots that escorted the diamond-shaped craft away. They even went on... Oh, I talk about that. I jumped the gun there. Hold on. Betty says, quote, yes, they sure did. In fact, they drifted more toward the west, or was it the east? No, it was the west, over toward Crosby, and the international airport was over that way. It was headed, and the helicopters were on both sides of it. It looked like they were trying their best to go around the top of it as well. It was unreal. In fact, even driving down Highway 1960, we stopped at the stop sign to turn on to 1960, where we drove to the First National Bank in Dayton, which at the time was under construction, and we could still see more helicopters coming in. Now, whether they were going to help the other crews or what, I didn't take the time to find out. So as the helicopters are escorting it, more choppers are coming in.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it almost makes you feel extraterrestrially.
That's a big...
It's a lot of fucking presence.
30 helicopters is a lot of manpower and money.
Yeah.
To just throw out there like some training exercise. I know they do it, but it's weird. With the road now clear, Cash says she drove on, claiming to see glimpses of the objects and helicopters receding into the distance. From the first sighting of the objects to its departure, they said the encounter lasted between 15 and 17 minutes, which is a pretty good chunk of time.
Absolutely.
They did not, however, report any missing time. So it wasn't necessarily an abduction case, just a UFO encounter. After the trip home, which took about 30 minutes, all three of the witnesses became extremely sick within the next few hours. Betty's head and neck started to blister, and soon her eyes would swell completely shut. She was also terribly nauseated. Vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue ensued. By the next morning, she was almost in a coma.
Damn, that's crazy.
Over the next few days, Cash said her symptoms worsened, with large, painful blisters forming on her skin. When taken to a hospital emergency room on January 3rd, 1981, Cash, quote, could not walk and had lost large patches of skin and whole clumps from her hair. She even temporarily lost sight in her eyes. She was released after 12 days, though her condition was not much better. She later returned to the hospital for another 15 days. Almost 30 days in the hospital from this 15-minute encounter with whatever this craft is.
And see, that and that right there makes you lean more toward extraterrestrially, because you would think that the pilots inside the craft would be absolutely fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I don't know much about it, but when you're experiencing that high of radiation at the time, do you even know that? Like, can you feel it low key, or does it just, it's just happening?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know, because like at first I'm sure she was feeling the heat.
Right. Yeah.
From the flames, but I don't know that she would know about, like, you would know you were getting radiation poisoning.
I don't know either.
Huh.
It's weird though.
Yeah.
It sucks that, I mean, it hammered her. It's kind of amazing that I assume she bounces back.
I've got some pictures here, Kyle. Nobody else is going to be able to see.
Of her?
You can. Yeah, of her hair loss and stuff. Let me find it.
At this point, I would really like to know what makes this controversial.
Just whole clumps of her hair fell out.
Sure. It's like almost the whole side of her head.
Yeah. She got weird bruises on her hands.
That's gnarly looking.
And blisters. Look at that. Just handfuls of her hair fall out.
I mean, that's radiation poisoning 101.
It's right crazy. Where's my script at? Here it is. Okay. 30 days in the hospital. In 1985, HBO documentary UFOs, What's Going On? Cash's hair loss was shown in pictures, and she claimed doctors switched from treating her for burns from heat to treating her for radiation sickness after realizing that she had been exposed to high levels of radiation. Later, she was treated for cancer. Vicky and Colby suffered very similar symptoms, but not as severe as Betty's. Colby had problems with his eyes. Vicky was losing her hair as well. In addition, her scalp was numb and painful. All three of the victims were treated for radiation poisoning and their condition listed by doctors as life-threatening. Before long, skin sores developed, weight loss began, and skin cancer was diagnosed.
Oh, that would be another great thing for Betty. If Betty was able, I know it would be extremely hard, but if these people got radiation poisoning from that far away, you would assume that every single one of them pilots in the helicopters were going to experience radiation poisoning. So,
I think so.
You would think, other than seeing strictly military doctors and keeping it all extremely tight, there should, in theory, be evidence out there of these people experiencing high levels of radiation all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, in theory, in a court case, you should be able to find that out through, like, discovery and stuff. However, you are dealing with covert operations of the government. So yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. In that interview with Captain Camp from Bergman, Betty speaks about her symptoms. She says, well, the only thing I know is that I was sick within 30 minutes after the time that it happened, and I was burning up. It was just like I had been blistered all over. And like I'd been laying on a beach, and it happened within 30 minutes after seeing this craft. I was feeling fine before, and then all this took place. The next morning, I was so sick, I couldn't do anything, and I was craving water. I was dying of thirst, or at least I thought I was. I felt so dehydrated, I couldn't even get out of bed to get myself a glass of water. Then Captain Camp in the interview asked a weird question. Did you have any special sensations in your mouth? And Betty replied, nothing but extreme dryness. Where Camp starts to say, have you tried? And then he goes, okay. And then Betty interrupts him. So I thought that was a weird back and forth between the two where he's like, any strange, like almost like he knew what he was dealing with.
100%. You don't ask that question without having some type of expected answer.
Yeah. And I know she was talking about being thirsty, but like the way he put it, any special sensations that you were feeling in your mouth?
Like he may not have known precisely, but he was definitely looking for a specific answer there.
Yeah. And then he went on to say, have you tried? And then he stopped himself. He goes, have you tried? Oh, okay. And then she interrupts with, my lips were swollen. My ears were swollen about 3 times their normal size. In fact, my entire body, my family didn't even recognize me. When they came to the hospital, they told them what room I was in. They said, had they not known for sure it was me, they wouldn't have recognized me. The helicopter activity is actually corroborated by a lot of other people in the area. There would be several other witnesses to the strange craft and or the helicopters that night. Among them were an off-duty Dayton police officer and his wife, who were driving home from Cleveland the same night and saw a large number of CH-47 Chinooks in the sky. So we got people backing her up here.
Yeah, it would be better if they would have seen the big diamond craft too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, verifying that these helicopters were in the area means that she wasn't wrong. She's telling the truth.
Which is not what the military says during the deposition.
Of course.
A Crosby, Texas man who was directly under the flight path reported seeing a large number of heavy military helicopters flying overhead. A Dayton, Texas oil field worker, Jerry McDonald, saw a large UFO fly directly overhead while he was in his back garden. He thought it might be a blimp at first, but soon knew that it was something more sinister. It was kind of a diamond shape and had 2 twin torches that were shooting brilliant blue flames out of the back, he said. He saw it had 2 bright lights on it and a red light in the center. In another freaky circumstance of luck here, a corroboration of the object would come in 1981. In April, a CH-47 flew into Dayton for the purpose of a public showing. This allowed local residents to view the machine, both inside and out. Colby spotted the helicopter as it was flying into town and became very upset. Vicky took him to the landing site, hopefully to kind of calm his fears, show him that there was nothing to be afraid of. As they reached the Chinook, a long line of locals had already formed, waiting to see the giant machine and how it operated. When their turn finally came, Vicky and Colby entered the helicopter. Accompanied by another visitor in addition to Colby, Vicky began to recount her experience in the Piney Woods. Vicky and the other unnamed witness both claimed that the pilot said that he had been in the air that night of the traumatic sighting. He was sent to check on a UFO that was in trouble near Huffman. Vicky began to discuss her injuries due to the burns and radiation poisoning. Upon hearing her confession, the pilot quickly shut up and then moved them out of the craft. The pilot was later found by the UFO group Visit. He would only admit that he knew of the crash landing case, but refused to admit that he had been in the area the night of the sighting. So that's another little tidbit that's put out there that corroborates, but also doesn't corroborate. It's weird. As for the origin of the helicopters, local air bases were questioned but would not admit to sending any helicopters out that night. The only public statement made by military officials came from Fort Hood press officer Major Tony Geishauser. In an interview with Corpus Christi Caller newspaper, he stated that no Fort Hood aircraft were in the Houston area that night. I don't know any other place around here that would have that number of helicopters, he said. I don't know what it could be, unless there's a super secret thing going on and I wouldn't necessarily know about it. So just completely...
just dismisses it.
Yes. It should be noted that the Blacktop Road was so badly damaged from the emissions of the crash that night that it was almost immediately repaired.
Oh, yeah, because we know road construction is just done lightning fast around here.
It's fucking weird. Were they repairing the road or were they just doing some mass radiation cleanup?
Yeah, they were definitely cleaning up some tracks.
Died a UFO encounter.
See, and it, I'm still torn between military and UFO, like alien.
Yeah.
Because I could see this being a military experiment and them not realizing the amount of radiation they're fucking going to be pumping out.
Yeah.
Almost like it was legitimately wrong place, wrong time for everybody. This was the initial flight, and they were like, oh, damn, like, we fucked up.
Yeah, almost like if you play it from the military perspective. It's almost like they took this out to test it, and then they were running into some issues. That's why it was kept like going toward the ground and lifting itself back up and then going toward the ground. And I feel like they were kind of out on that like kind of windy stretch of road where they necessarily didn't anticipate to see anyone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This is 9 o'clock at night. Most people are just hanging out. It's a holiday season. People are hanging out at home with their relatives and stuff. So if they get that thing in the air and then start having issues, let's go to the least populated spot we can find.
Yeah.
Because the two towns of New Caney and Huffman, they're not even like official towns on the map. I can't remember what it's called. I don't remember. But they're not even actual like towns, I think, at that point. They might be now. They're on the Google Maps because I looked them up.
But back then they weren't even on the maps.
Yeah. Something. There's some word for it. But it's kind of like probably like a village, kind of like what Fielden is here.
Right.
So they tore the road up. Investigators are at a loss to explain the events that happened that night, except to say that Betty, Vicky, and Colby had encountered a craft of undetermined origin, or possibly an experimental government craft. The three unwilling participants of this event sued the U.S. government for medical damages, but during a congressional hearing, the Department of the Army Inspector General denied any military involvement in the case and disallowed any compensation for the three unwilling participants in the Piney Woods affair.
And they have to keep it that way. Because the second they go, okay, well, I know they could. They could have made them sign NDAs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like with the crazy strict gag orders.
Yeah.
Which would have been the right thing to do, but at the same time, You let that get out that we're essentially admitting to this type of technology or encounter. Whew, that's got some
big can of worms.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So to go a little bit more into the legal actions, according to Wikipedia, eventually Cash and Landrum contacted their U.S. senators, Lloyd Benson and John Tower, who suggested the witnesses file a complaint with the Judge Advocate Claims Office at Bergstrom Air Force Base. They're the ones that led him to the interview with Bergstrom.
Gotcha.
In August 1981, Cash, Landrum, and Colby were interviewed at length by personnel at Bergstrom Air Force Base and were told that they should hire a lawyer and seek financial compensation for their injuries. So they were told by the captains at the Air Force Base to hire a lawyer. With attorney Peter Gersten taking the case pro bono, the case wound its way through the U.S. courts for several years. Cash and Landrum sued the U.S. federal government for $20 million. It went so far that testimonies of officials from NASA, the United States Air Force, the United States Army, and the United States Navy were all given in these court proceedings. Persuaded by their testimonies and other evidence, which is not mentioned here, that no agency of the U.S. government possessed any such UFO, and that no military personnel had operated any of the reported helicopters, a U.S. district court judge dismissed their case on August 21st, 1986.
That's wild.
So, yeah. Now you can see how it's controversial. Because Betty and Vicky said these helicopters had United States Air Force markings on the side of them. And the Air Force was like, no, it didn't.
Doubt it. You're mistaken.
No, it didn't.
None of that ever happened.
No. Your hair just falls out.
Yeah. Those things happen.
Don't worry about it.
That sucks. Because they went through something not like, I wouldn't even use the word traumatic. Because it physically fucked with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it from the military standpoint of deny, because if they get caught being held accountable for that, that's huge ramifications for the future and possibly the past. But man, talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I hate that they didn't have to give any explanation for the helicopters. They just said no. Like, the Air Force is like, weren't ours. The Navy's like, well, weren't ours. And the Army's like, wasn't ours either. We don't know what to tell you. Who the fuck else would have 30 Chinook helicopters?
Yeah. Yeah. The military.
Not me.
It's literally it. The military.
I don't have 30 helicopters.
I mean, I guess you could have some crazy high corporation, but still, you're always going to lean military.
Yeah. Especially with military markings. Unless yes. it was something so out of bounds that it was trying to disguise itself as the military escorting this thing.
I don't.
Which has to break infinite amount of laws.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just so weird. It's such a weird case.
It is weird. And it, like, either way, whether it be a top secret program or a interception, I feel like it goes to lean more to that whenever the captains at the base are like, hey, you need to get a lawyer and look into this. Because that tells me that these guys, even though they're high-ranking officials, they're still not in on whatever happened that night, which leads me to think that this was some type of highly classified operation.
Yes.
Whichever way the road goes on that, whether it's an experiment or actual encounter, you're talking, you know, the black budget type shit, black programs, or even these captains, they had no fucking clue what was going on, but they were like, hey, you should definitely get a lawyer and go after him on this one.
Yeah. And I think it probably was some sort of experimental craft that they took out to try. And when things started going sideways, when it started like almost crashing into the ground, they were, you know, put into a position where they like, we've got to get out there.
Overall, that's where I think I'm leaning to, is that it was an experiment that it had to have been one of their first test flights with it, not knowing the amount of radiation that I was going to dump out. Because if they were almost 200 feet away and she still got fucked up that bad.
Yeah. That amount of heat.
I feel like that amount of, like, that's pushing out radiation like crazy. An unexpected amount, whereas those pilots probably fucking died unless they had some type of containment inside the craft to keep the radiation off of them.
Because think about the context of the... Hey, Holocult. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off of your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Me and Kyle both can attest to having our information stolen online. Kyle just had to deal with it not too long ago, and at the very least, it is the utmost inconvenience having to reset everything, reset your bank account. It's just such a pain. But Aura is more than just the data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your login safe, a spam call protection to cut off scammers. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they are exposed. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days if you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent spent your life working for. My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real, tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Court case. All the branches of the military and NASA are saying these weren't ours. These weren't ours. The only other option is that it's a UFO.
Yeah.
And for them to put out there that a UFO is better than just admitting to having this technology is kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
To me. Unless they're just trying to make these women out to be crazy. But you can't do that, because how does two 50-year-old women just go out for bingo and come down with radiation sickness?
Yeah, that sucks too.
All they wanted to do is have some Christmas bingo.
That's it.
And instead they got cancer. Yeah. Shitty.
That's a terrible situation. I feel terrible for them, because it legitimately wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, worst place, wrong time.
Dude, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And then that's what I think. I feel like a woman like Betty, that's what pisses her off more than anything, is that they completely like shrugged her and the whole situation off. Like,
yeah,
you're not even worth the time of day. And I feel like a woman like Betty, you ain't fucking around.
$20 million lawsuit, bitch.
Yeah, Betty ain't, she ain't playing games like that.
That's what Betty did. She said, "You want to know what happened to us? You're going to tell them."
And there was like, that's what's even crazier. There's proof. There's all of her medical records. Then you have the fingerprints in the dash, the road being fucked up. Something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And the government goes, "No, it didn't."
Like, not our problem. Didn't Sorry, happen. Betty. A couple more things from Wikipedia here to talk about. There was some media coverage. The incident received coverage in both the tabloid press and mainstream media. In 1981, Landrum appeared on That's Incredible, a popular ABC television program where she was hypnotized in front of a studio audience. Under her hypnosis, she recounted the UFO incident. Landrum and Cash both appeared on the 1989 US TV special UFO A Cover-Up Live, hosted by Mike Farrell, where they related their account of the purported UFO encounter and their subsequent medical problems and legal battles. The Cash Landrum event was also depicted under the television program Unsolved Mysteries and Sightings. In 2009, Colby appeared on UFO Hunters Alien Fallout. The deaths of Cash and Landrum. Betty Joyce Cash died at age 69 on December 29th, 1998, exactly 18 years to the day that she had her encounter.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I'm glad she got 18 more years out of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Vicki Landrum died at age 83 on September 12th, 2007. Some subsequent investigations that went on here, including some naysayers and such. I'll just read this. Landrum telephoned a number of U.S. government agencies and officials about the encounter. This is how set she was on it being military aircraft, that she was straight calling the government.
What did you guys awesome. Do to us?
When she telephoned NASA, she was steered toward NASA aerospace engineer John Schussler, long interested in UFOs. With some association from civilian USO group or UFO research group MUFON, Schussler began research on the case and later wrote articles and a book on the subject. Astronomer Alan Hendry of the Center for UFO Studies also briefly investigated the Cash Landrum case. Due to the Chinook helicopter presence, the witnesses presumed that at least one branch of the United States Armed Forces had witnessed the object, maybe even escorting or pursuing it. However, investigators could find no evidence linking the helicopters with any branch of the military, which has interesting consequences, considering there may be some like black budget places out here that have the funds to run 30 Chinooks whenever they need to.
I mean, I believe it's possible.
I'm sure there are too.
And you know, I would never have thought about it until you said it, about them just some black budget thing, just faking the markings to aim blame in a direction that's not them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a smart play, really.
And it stirs up so much shit that like nobody's going to even think to look toward anything but the military because it's military markings.
Absolutely.
In 1982, Lieutenant Colonel George Saran of the Office of Inspector General of the United States Army began the only thorough, formal governmental investigation into the supposed UFO encounter. He could not find any evidence that the helicopters the witnesses claimed to have seen belonged to the U.S. Armed Forces. Saran stated that Miss Landrum and Miss Cash were credible. The policeman and his wife, who claimed to have seen 12 hot helicopters near the UFO encounter site, were also credible witnesses. There was no perception that anyone was trying to exaggerate the truth. So the people, they say, weren't lying. They, assuming so, they did see multiple helicopters that night. In 1994, UFO skeptic Stuart Campbell suggested that the witnesses may have observed a mirage of the star Canopus, which laid exactly in line with the road.
Of course it did.
If it's a mirage that sets your car on fire and gives you radiation poisoning, that's some mirage.
Yeah. I think that's what would make me so mad is that these people are so ignorantly dismissive of it. That would piss me off.
They're dorks.
Oh, yeah.
But since we're on the dork train, we're going to hear him out. In 1998, journalist and UFO skeptic Philip J. Class found a few reasons to doubt the story of Cash and Landrum. When Schuessler inspected Betty's car in early 1981 and used a Geiger counter to check for radioactivity, he found none. Presumably, he also checked for radioactivity when he visited the site of the alleged incident and found no abnormal radiation. Schuessler provides no medical data on Betty's health prior to the UFO incident, nor does he provide any medical data on the prior health of Vicky or Colby. So he's trying to say that they were probably already had radiation poisoning before the UFO that didn't give out any radiation.
That's something we didn't consider, Steve. That radiation poisoning is extremely common.
Yeah, especially at bingo halls.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. These dorks. These fucking dorks.
I hate it. I hate how dismissive it is. Just how like some pompous ass is like, I got this figured out. I know what happened.
Yeah.
They already had radiation poisoning, okay?
UFO researcher Kurt Collins details the unsuccessful efforts of the Texas Department of Health's Bureau of Radiation Control to detect any residual radiation in the vicinity of the reported incident. He quotes from a 1981 Houston Chronicle article in which Russ Mayer, manager of the state's public health department in Houston, says, quote, "If there had been any radioactive contamination in large amounts, some would still be there," end quote. The Chronicle article goes on, quote, "However, he said certain types of radiation, such as ultraviolet light and infrared light and low energy X-rays, might not leave any residual traces at all. Other UFO researchers point out that the high-energy ionizing radiation, the kind that can cause damage to human beings, such as gamma radiation, do not include radioactivity in objects and would not have left behind any residual radioactivity in the area." It almost makes you wonder if maybe they were testing out some sort of weapon.
Could be.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Just two old bingo women and their grandson.
That makes me so mad.
We just wanted to go out, have just a good
to
night.
Go play some bingo.
They eat at a truck stop, basically a Waffle House.
Yeah.
Just having a good time. And they get gamma rayed from the military.
Shame on you.
Or a UFO. Or an
shame
alien.
On you.
Skeptical British UFO. What? You're in Britain. You
get
don't
out
even
of here.
Know what you're talking about.
Just go on and get.
Peter Brooksmith writes, "Skeptics have always asked a blunt and fundamental question. What was the trio's state of health before the alleged encounter?" Brooksmith, also wrote, "To ufologists, the case is perhaps the most baffling and frustrating of modern times. For what started with solid evidence of a notorious elusive phenomenon petered out in a maze of dead ends, denials, and perhaps even official deviousness."
No, 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 no. What is infuriating is that you idiots are all asking, well, you know, Steve, what was their health prior to having radiation poisoning? They probably had radiation, all of them had radiation poisoning before coming out here, okay? That's what happened.
Dorks.
They all had radiation poisoning.
Everybody was radiated.
Yeah. All of their, I mean, it just has to be the logical explanation here.
Because they went to Mars, where there's radiation.
Idiots.
We got another dork. In December 2018, Brian Dunning investigated the case and reported his findings on the Skeptoid podcast.
Good.
He found that Cash's doctor's note attributed her hair loss to the autoimmune disease alopecia areata.
Sure.
That her other symptoms could be caused by illnesses that started before the incident. Mm. And that Landrum's only documented illness is developing cataracts in one eye. Dunning concludes, and I quote, "In my experience, it's completely plausible that Cash and Landrum wrongly, but honestly, placed the blame for their health problems into whatever they saw. Even pushed the truth a bit by trying to get the Air Force to pay for it. When you believe in your heart that the Air Force did something wrong that harmed you, you don't necessarily feel that it's wrong to exaggerate evidence. Like seeing the words Air Force on the side of a helicopter. Adding on symptoms to people who didn't have them. Faking sunburn spots on your arm. As long as it's in pursuit of what you believe and a just settlement." End quote.
Like he makes that statement like it's a common thing.
He makes a statement like people, he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Like people commonly accuse the Air Force of this shit.
Yeah.
And you know they don't.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. It's not like she sued the Air Force for her medical bills. She sued him for $20 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have to be fully, fully invested in what happened to you to go in that heavy.
Oh, yeah.
If you're just trying to make a little money, sue him for $50,000 or something. The Air Force is going to be like, okay, here's your money.
Yeah,
see ya.
Shut up. Here's an NDA. Here's
$20 million in 1980 is a lot of million dollars today.
Yeah. I agree.
And I don't know. She was treated at the hospital for radiation poisoning, not for alopecia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he feels like he would be like on the same line with a scientist that said sugar's good for you back in the day.
But I'm going to end the episode with a quote from the Texas Monthly. That's where it's going to stop because we don't know any more than what they know. Texas Monthly says, quote, "To this day, there is no conclusive explanation of that night's events."
Bullshit.
Which sucks.
I call bullshit.
Kyle knows.
It melted the fucking road.
Yeah, it did.
And then in record time, they fixed the road. That never happens.
It did melt the fucking road.
It melted the fucking road.
Can you imagine how hot that is?
It's got to be crazy. It has to be crazy hot.
Dude, because you know when it's 110 degrees outside and you get in and you touch your dash, you can't touch it.
Right.
It's so hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But your fingers do not melt into it.
Exactly.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Crazy.
That's a pretty good story. I got mad respect for Betty.
Betty don't give a shit.
She don't give a fuck.
She's 10 toes down, so pay me.
I'm with it.
You gave me cancer, pay me.
Yep. Tip of the hat to Betty.
R.I.P. Betty. R.I.P. Yep. Vicky and Betty.
Yep.
To anybody who's in the helicopters, anybody who's in that UFO, do better. If it's aliens, do better. If it's military, do better. If it's some black budget program, do better. Stop picking on old ladies.
True.
Unacceptable. But that's that. Anybody listening lives in the area and it kind of hears things down around the Houston airport, hit us up. Let us know. Let us know if you got some more insight on the scenario here. And on that note, thanks for hanging out with us today, Holocult. Here's to a rockin' 2026. We appreciate you all. We love you all. Let's keep growing the Holo Cult. We gotta keep manifesting it. It's gonna be our year. I can feel it. Smell it. It's gonna happen. But again, until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you encounter a UFO that gives you cancer, sue the fuck out of the government.